Into the 9 o'clock hour, Mad Radio Sports Radio 610. Coming up in about 8 or 9 minutes, we have our final Mike Meltzer Rockets hype. We've had one or two decent ones. We'll see if we can finish with a bang. I'm a little bit nervous because I feel like I've kind of used some artillery so far, and I'm not sure what's left. But we'll find out coming up in about 8 minutes. Let's go right now to the Buyers Barricades hotline. Joining us right now, this was a surprise to us, but we are looking forward to this conversation. She is on Hot Bench, which you can check out on the Cube locally every single day at 2 p.m. Justice or Judge Patricia M. DeMango joins us on the show. Judge DeMango, good morning, Mike and Seth in Houston. How are you?
Good morning, Mike and Seth. I'm doing well. I'm doing fine. I'm listening to your station, and I'm hearing that you've got 75 degrees weather. I think you're doing better than we are right now.
What's the weather where you are right now?
It's just overcast and gloomy. It's been going from a nice day into thunderstorms. It's not quite the sunny Texas day that I think I'd like.
Judge DeMango, where are you right now? Are you in New York? Where are you?
I am currently I'm in New York City, looking directly out the window at the Empire State Building.
Okay, I like that. Well, let's begin with this, because I feel like we're glad to have you on this morning. So obviously there was a big court decision that came down a few days ago with the Supreme Court. Were you surprised, not surprised by the decision by the court by a 7-2 majority that they basically invalidate the 92 law, which bans a lot of states from legalizing sports gambling? Was that a surprise, not a surprise in your mind?
I think it was an inevitable conclusion. I mean, it seems to be the way things are going initially. You know, in life sort of takes these turns. Initially, what seems to be something unfavorable when they do investigations and they look into it, because there has been a public sway as well in this, saying that it's not as bad as people originally thought, that it would be really striking down the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act would actually not be as detrimental to the integrity of sports as I believe people originally thought. So this is an inevitable conclusion.
What happened? We've got a buzz there.
We've got some kind of
she just
weird.
Just dropped off completely.
We've got
there was
some
no
kind
static
of weird
or anything.
Buzz. Yeah, Landry, just let me know.
Because for the most part, the Supreme Court, it wasn't even an endorsement of gambling as much as it was that saying that it should be up to the states to make the decision.
And basically, what they said was that you should have to treat states equally.
Yeah.
Essentially, like sort of an.
What they're really saying is that this is not a decision to be made by the federal government.
Yes.
Are you guys there? Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're here. Yeah, we're
made by the federal government. In fact, Alito said, you know, the legalization of sports gambling is an important policy choice, but the choice is not theirs to make. He says the choice is not ours to make. It's the state. This is really a dry constitutional issue about state rights. And what the Supreme Court has said is each one of you are free to make whatever choice you want regarding the legalization of sports betting. If Congress wants to control this, they can. They can do so by regulating sports gambling directly. But unless they do that, each state is free to do it on its own.
You were appointed by Mayor Giuliani in 1995. Has he asked you for any advice on his forays into the media? Now that you're like, hey, you're a television star. He's a television star through his current job.
Yeah.
But are you surprised at the direction his career has taken?
Well, no, because he was such a powerful mayor. He did so many innovative things. He was one of the first people to really start putting pressure on law enforcement for quality of life crimes. He really made a name for himself. He was real, in my view, a very wise mayor, having made a choice to appoint me. And I think that ultimately people were going to seek him out, and he was going to be out there in the public eye. Oh, I think he's on calling me right now. Let me get back to you. I'm only kidding.
What was your relationship?
No, he has not sought advice from me.
How do you get to know, this might be a stupid question, I don't know, but what was your relationship like before he appointed you? Like, what's that whole dynamic like?
I didn't have a relationship with him at all before I was appointed by him. What happens is the screening process in New York is pretty rigorous for judgeships, especially on the criminal court bench, which are choices made by the mayor. And there are huge applications, huge screening committees. There are 6 or 7 screening committees, then smaller groups of deputy mayors. And so ultimately, after many, many, many months of interviewing and screening, screening of your application and interviewing all the people who have sent you letters of recommendation, et cetera. Ultimately, they send three individuals to the mayor for every open judgeship. And I was, and you know, and at the time, you know, when I got there, I was, you know, it was something I really wanted and worked hard for. And I'm thrilled he's made a change in my entire life by appointing me at that time. So I had no prior relationship with him.
So if you're a judge in any system, like if you're in a federal system, you're in a state system, whatever it is, you're just kind of going on about your business, making judgments and talking to perps and all that stuff. And you're just waiting for somebody to appoint you without any real knowledge of whether you're even on somebody's hot list or anything.
No, it's not. The criminal court judgeship goes through the screening process. The elective process, which I also was after that, I was an elected Supreme Court justice, that has a different route. That has more of a political route to it, where you attend functions, political functions, you get into that role as any other politician sort of would, but with more control over what it is you can do, so they don't want to compromise the integrity of the bench in any way. Different process.
Sorry, my co-host here, Mike Meltzer, he's actually in law school right now. So he's 32 years old. Let's say I'm gonna take control of his political career.
Yeah.
I want him to ultimately be a Supreme Court justice.
What
is his path from this point forward? He's gonna graduate law school next year. And can he also remain a talk show host? What's that?
We're talking a state Supreme Court versus, you know, people confuse the state Supreme Court, which we have in New York as the lower trial court, versus the United States Supreme Court.
I want him to be U.S. Supreme Court.
Oh, well, you know, I think you're going to have to speak to the president on that one.
Well, look, it's not going to be, I would imagine that we're talking 8 to 12 years down the road.
I'm saying you're talking more than that.
He's a superstar, you see. He's going to rocket upwards.
They put him on the expedited path then. So I'm going to give you 3-1 odds.
Whoa,
3-1.
What's
going to get there in 8 to 12 years?
What's the highest? Now, it would be the best option to get the highest possible judgeship, like right out of law school, would be to go over some elected position somewhere.
No,
maybe.
Because you can't even in New York, you can't even apply for a judgeship before you've been 10 years on the bench.
Ten years.
We're
burning day. You got started too late, Mike.
I'll never be a
Supreme Court justice.
I have one final question. Justice Patricia M. DeMango joining us via the Byers Barricades Hotline.
And her show is on the Cube here in Houston
at 2 p.m. The show is Hot Bench. What is the last book that you read?
Oh, I read all these. Sandra Brown and Switch is one of them. Mary Higgins Clark. I read those kinds of books. I like all these suspense books where you've got to try to figure out who did it.
Okay, I like it. Any nonfiction, or you just kind of stick to the fiction mostly?
Mostly the fiction, because my life is too much nonfiction.
That makes sense.
And I just want to sit down sometimes and relax and just read a book that I could read in a day. And that's often what I do.
Well, Justice DeMango, we appreciate your time and your insight this morning, and we continue a continued success on the show Hot Bench. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, both Mike and Seth, for having me on.
There you go. She is Justice Patricia M. DeMango. She is one of the three judges on CBS's Hot Bench, which you guys can check out at 2 p.m. weekdays on theCUBE. It is
First, I thought she might be shaving her legs as she was doing the interview, and then I realized as it went on that she must be shaving everybody's legs in the office. Like she's either a barber shop of some sort. Was she cutting hair? What was that buzz?
You don't need a buzz when you shave your legs, right? That's just like the chic, right?
Don't they have like an electric leg shaver? I guess they don't.
Go with the chic, man.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted us to ask if we thought O.J. was innocent.
Oh, all right.
She's a judge. She can't have an opinion on that.
She's not allowed to have an opinion on that,
is that true?
I don't know. Well, she's not currently a judge. She's on one of these shows where she acts like a judge.
Those shows
are usually, it's like in the, like People's Court, what they do, it's when you hire an independent arbitrator or whatever, what's it called? You contract out the decision, basically.
Yes, yeah. So it's legally binding, but
you're kind of like, you're agreeing to play pretend court is what you do on the People's Court. I would imagine what this Hot Bench is the same.
I feel like this Justice Patricia DeMango is an actual judge.
Who's
though.
That guy? There's that guy up in Maine or Connecticut or somewhere.
That's she's retired. Okay.
Who's that guy on YouTube? He's a star. And this isn't a reality show, I don't think, but he's this judge up in somewhere in New England where he's hilarious. He's really funny, and he has conversations with his with the people that are up in front of the bench. Somebody text that into me, 713-572-4610.
Hot bench. That's the way to do it. Those shows kill it. They make a ton of money. As you can see with Judge Judy's salary.
I'm having an uneasy conversation on the text line over the course of the last two hours.
You got to stop this guy.
Listen, I want to come to... No, Mike.
This guy's impossible.
There's too much divisiveness in American... The problem is, I feel like I'm having a conversation with somebody that no matter what you say, he's reading a political angle into it. So he's accusing you and I of talking too much politics with our sports talk these days.
What?
I don't know. Listen.
He's a buffoon.
But what the problem is, he's saying that, like, he's telling me I don't understand how liberal I sound. And I'm like, well, listen, like, truth be told, I spend the vast majority of my time around, like, off air, mostly around, like, Texas conservatives. It's just kind of like, so, like, who exactly do I not understand? He's like, you don't know what you sound like to us. And so apparently I'm talking to somebody who,
us.
If you're a Texas Republican, that's still not liberal. That's not conservative enough for him. So, like, I sound like a stupid lib, even though I don't quite get it. So I apologize for me being distracted.
No, that's okay. That guy's an idiot. All right.
No, Mike. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to have a conversation with this guy.
No.
Come on.
No,
you're part of the problem, too.
No, that's fine.
You're just as bad.
There are people. No, that dude is a miserable. He is miserable. If anybody listens to a sports radio show and gets that angry, you are a loser.
Well, that dude is a loser. Now, one of his complaints is that, like, he used to be able to listen to sports and there was no talk of politics at all. I would say this, as far as the Colin Kaepernick stuff goes, it's one of those things where it's for us to, like, not talk about Colin Kaepernick at all would be just, like, almost as extremely political as, like, we'd be ignoring something for political purposes. So there's no way around it. You just end up having to talk about it at some point, whether you want to, whether that's a focus you want to go or anything. And not to mention, like, it just that's just the state. So don't blame me for your issues with Colin Kaepernick.
All right, here we go. Pump up song or pump up for the Rockets. Here we go.
Wait for it. Go.
I'm sensing all these people giving up in the city of Houston. I feel it. I felt it Monday morning before the basketball was tipped off against Golden State. And now I feel like people already be like, oh my God, we're just going to sit here and beg for LeBron James to come because that's the only guy who can save us. Listen, could you imagine if the 1994 Houston Rockets had that mentality when they fell behind 3-1 against the Phoenix Suns? Could you imagine if Hakeem and Mario Elie and Sam Cassell and Kenny Smith felt the way that you guys feel right now?
I can't imagine.
They did not feel that way because they knew that they could come back and they could win that series. Listen, I know the Warriors are a great team. They might be an all-time great team. But these opportunities in life and sports are fleeting opportunities. They do not happen every single year. This team has been in the Western Conference Finals twice in the last, 20 years? No matter what you think of this series, these opportunities are slim and few and far between. You've got James Harden. You've got Chris Paul. Find a way to get a game. Because here's the thing about sports. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. You take one, you find a way to get one there, then you're guaranteed at least one more home game, and you never quite know. Maybe someone gets hurt in Golden State. You never know. Maybe something happens in the series. Maybe Draymond Green gets another T and gets ejected, and you might end up in a Cleveland situation. The point is this. The Rockets did not give up in 94. You cannot give up right now. Game 2, tonight, 8 p.m.
Plato Center. I like that one. That might have been you're feeling the flow on that, too. What was that bet? Who was that?
Throw it up, Lil Jon and the East Side Boys.
Okay, good.
I like it. Yeah, I'm into it.
Good job, Mike. I'm actually, your pep talks, I think you think we're completely making fun of you with these things. They're actually working on me today.
You're good?
Actually, yeah, I feel pretty good about it.
Mark Medina, who covers the Warriors, will set us up for game 2 coming up at 9:40. Melts down at 9:30. I thought last night provided one significant moment for the Astros, and also I think the move they made with Mariznick is one that we can read into as well. Matt Radio on Sports Radio 6.